welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's cup defeat at the hands of Dundee United, preview the trip to Stenhouse Muir, and get your passports ready. Scotland have qualified for Euro 2024. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Toon Podcast. I am Colin Byers, and with me as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Not too bad, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. Fairly feeling the winter chill coming in now, after Saturday night's game.
Oh, I had to get a fleece this morning for work, so I just need to get winter's approaching, so you've got the fleece on the go. It was 4 degrees when I got in the car this morning, so a bit brisk.
Aye, the heating's fairly been cranked up now to its full capacity, and the winter duvet's been put on now as well, so we're fairly keen that that'll be us for the next 6 months. That's how it's going to be.
Two weeks ago, you had your shorts on?
Well, I was still rocking the shorts, but I was chancing my luck wearing the shorts on Saturday night, I tell you that.
I would have been a wee bit too chilly for the shorts, I think.
I would have got a few funny looks. So hopefully the anybody listening to this will keep you as warm as we possibly can through the winter months with the podcast. Want to start be going back to Friday night and thank again Jason for coming on and doing the live episode on Friday night. Much appreciated again, and thanks to the club for getting it organised as well. You're not sure how these kind of things are going to go because they are live, but I think we always kind of care for what we're going to get for Jason. Fairly forthright, fairly straightforward thinking, and comes across pretty well. And generally, I've never got a bad word to say about Jason or any of the team as a whole, but yeah, Jason's one of the kind of guys that for the very beginning has been a big supporter of the podcast, and we really appreciate him taking the time the night before a big game to come on and chat with us.
Oh, absolutely. Aye, Jason's been one of the biggest supporters we've had right for the get-go, and he's always been very straight, very open with us as well, and he's never... He's never dodged any questions on air or off air either. So, yeah, we really appreciate his time, as well as all the players that have come on over the last couple of seasons as well.
Yeah, and once again, it's been well received. We had a lot of folk watching it during the Friday night, whether it be live or just after it. So we've had plenty of response, plenty positive feedback again, which is good. So you never know, we might make it a semi-regular feature.
Depends how many players we can convince to come on.
Well, that's it. We've convinced two so far, so we might convince another one next month. But we'll see where that takes us. Maybe folk are sick of looking at us already. Maybe that's another thing we've got to look at.
Well, it's funny, I'm listening to that to me as well, because maybe more folks listen because I'm fed up, but you're too speaking. But, well, thanks very much.
Or it's maybe because it was Jason, it was on because he's maybe slightly better looking than us.
Well, we'll put that to a vote.
That'll be Friday's poll, right? That's it. Right, so another obviously good bit of news over the weekend. Scotland have qualified for Euro 2024, so we'll get our passports out. We are all off to Germany. Fantastic achievement by Steve Clark and the team. It seems so. What's the word I'm trying to say? We're taking it as like almost being like a big achievement, and it kind of is. But it's because we've gone so much crap in the last sort of 20 years as Scotland supporters and watching Scotland. It is a bit of an achievement, although some should say that we should be qualifying.
Yeah, we've certainly got the players that are capable of it. We maybe have shown it in recent tournaments, but I think when you were putting a group with Spain and Norway, probably rightly so, I think Spain and Norway would be the two that was fancied to go through. And the fact that we've done it with two games to spare as well, that's a big thing. It's two games to spare. But Steve Clark and the boys, I think they've been tremendous this campaign. you can see what Steve Clark's done. He's tried to build almost like a club atmosphere within a country. I mean, they only get together, you know, every so often, so it's difficult sometimes to get that close-knit group, and what he's done is fantastic.
Yeah, and everybody seems to be playing together, which is good. He solved the sort of Robertson, Tierney and Hickey as well. You could throw his name at the hat. Issue as well. We've got too many sort of left backs, but he's managed to solve that. He's got the team playing in a manner that it's not just sort of winning games, but there seems to be playing a good fit as well. Everybody's feeling good, and it's been capped off by, you know, qualifying, as you say, with two games to go. So we now look forward to next summer's tournament. We look forward to when the draw is getting made. It'll just be a case of whether or not we'll finish top or second. To be honest with you, it doesn't really matter at this stage. We've qualified it, and that's it.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. It doesn't matter how you get there. Obviously, the seeding would make a slight difference, but you're going to be playing top international players and top teams at the tournament anyway. So, you know, if you're going to go on to win it, you've got to be the best.
We've got to be heavily on the underdogs, I would say, will be massive. Terms of like the bookies and things like that, with the massive numbers in terms of us winning it, but you never know. We might sneak a point or a win or something in the group stage.
Does that any sort of play into your hands? Scotland being the underdog, everybody will want to play Scotland because they think they can beat us. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes complacency at these tournaments plays a big part as well. And I think if you were to say the Scottish team, like, you're expected to lose the game or games, whatever they're going to do, I think it might sort of get some of the players maybe a wee bit more G'd up for it. So maybe not a bad thing for massive underdogs.
Yep, so we'll look forward to next summer. We'll look forward to cheering on Scotland winning Euro 2024 next summer. So on to Saturday's game against Dundee United, SPFL Trust Trophy fourth round tie. Saturday night, 5:30 kickoff, live on BBC Alba. Unfortunately, our cup run has come to an end. Our unbeaten run in all competitions has also come to an end as well. Disappointing with the result in the end. 2-0 it finished to the visitors, to the Championship side. Overall thoughts, Martin, of the game and how it went?
So obviously on Saturday night, I think, you know, we were both quite disappointed, especially with the first half, the way things sort of panned out. But I think when I look back on it on Sunday, you've got to remember we're a part-time team against a full-time team with Dundee United. I think Jordan said it in his interview as well, arguably one of the biggest sides outside the Championship. We mentioned it on Saturday night as well, the quality Dundee United had coming off their bench, some of the players that they were able to bring on. You know, I think it tells you the different levels that both teams are at just now in their season as well. Both doing really well in their divisions, but I think, you know, the class and the fitness of Dundee United really did tell. The first goal was probably a wee bit disappointing. Stewart got beat so far out. We had a couple of chances in the second half, and then we got hit on the sucker punch where United getting the second, and the time they did sort of killed the tie. But I think when you look back, the boys can be proud of their efforts. As I said, you're up against a top side, but yeah, maybe slightly disappointed. We maybe didn't have Mero a go at them in the first half. I don't know whether we showed them too much respect or whether we just struggled with it. The conditions maybe in the first 20 minutes, whether Dundee United adapted a bit better. But yeah, overall, you know, I think the boys can be proud. They've given themselves a really good cup campaign, but I'm sure that all their efforts now will be on a really good League Two season.
I think I'm kind of on the same lines as yourself. I mean, if you'd asked us to record this on the Saturday night, I think my response might have been slightly different. However, having had a couple of days to kind of digest it and look at it, yeah, you can say, yeah, we probably did play. I just couldn't get over that sort of initial 15, 20 minutes in the first half where, as you said, I think we offered them far too much respect. We changed the formation. We changed our setup, which was completely different to what we've been doing in the last 3 or 4 weeks, which has gotten us to this stage of, you know, being unbeaten in 4 or 5 games in all competitions. So that was a disappointing thing. Obviously, the early goal changes the whole complexity of the game. You know, if we'd gotten through that initial 15-minute spell at 0-0 and then going to a 4-4-2, then the game might have been completely different. But I think overall, you could say, yeah, we'll probably did pretty well. We probably did better than we did in the game in the League Cup earlier on. But I think, yeah, we've probably gotten a lot more supporters and a lot more praise from the everybody that was watching the game on TV.
Yeah, I think if you're an outsider, you look at it and think Pierre, he's put up a decent performance. You know, we defended resolutely. We maybe didn't offer too much going forward. But then you've got to look at the difference in players as well. Like I said, Dundee United, the player that they had on the bench, you just had to look at the from the team's commute, the amount of coaching staff and everything. Dundee United, they don't. Dundee United's a big side, and you know, and they're probably the favourites, if not one of the favourites, to win the whole competition itself. So, you know, I think we put up a really good a show of ourselves, a really good account. I think there was a vast improvement on how we played it, against them at Tannadice on Saturday. I thought we were, you know, levels above. And it's just unfortunate we've come up against a really strong Dundee United side as well. We thought maybe beforehand Jim Goodwin might have gone with a slightly weaker side. We've seen the team lineups; he was taking no chances either. He didn't want to be put out to a lower league side again. So overall, I think the boys give a really good account of themselves. Just frustrating that it's come to an end.
I think one of the highlights for you during the game was the guys at the opposite side in the corporate bit continually shouting "Darvel, Darvel" to Jim Goodwin throughout the game.
Yeah, being an Aberdeen supporter as well, it did sort of leave a bitter taste in the move the Darvel game for quite some time. So it was fine just to give Jim Goodwin a little bit of sight. It was fine that the guys on the far side didn't let me do with that song as well.
So Andy McCarthy was the one change which we thought might happen, and Jordan Armstrong came in, so he changed it to a 4-1-4-1. Although when we did get the sort of team lines, we were thinking we might stick to a 4-4-2 and Daniel Strachan would go play right wing. And obviously Jordan Armstrong would play left back, but that obviously didn't happen. It was 4-1-4-1. So, yeah, I think initially the tactics or the shape or anything that they were looking at earlier on possibly would have been a case of we'll just try and feed ourselves into the game. And, you know, almost for the very first whistle, we couldn't really get out we're in half. Every player was back defending, even McAllister, who was the lone striker at the time, because Kieran Shanks was playing wide right. He was even sort of backtracking and helping out defensively. And so even if we did get the ball and get it clear, it was just coming back straight away.
Yeah, that was frustrating. But Jason said to us on Friday, also in the interview, that they'd been working on a shape. Obviously, he didn't say what shape it was. He's not going to give anything away, but from the lined up and it was a 4-1-4-1, I think it was slightly surprising, especially from we seen McAllister and Shanks. I thought, yeah, it's two up top, we're going to have a go at them, and then obviously Kieran was put wide right. I guess the idea was that from we were attacking, Kieran would have the pace and the energy to try and get closer to Rory and almost make it a two at times. But yeah, I think it was more of a, we'll try and contain them in the opening period, and then from Dundee United got the goal. It was soon after that Jordan changed the team tactics and tried to go two up top. So I think it was more of a try to contain them early doors, but just didn't quite pan out that way.
And how deep we were at times in that first half, Shanks was playing wide right. There was periods of time that he was actually almost as a right back, and Jinky as well on the left hand side was playing almost as a left back, so almost like a back six at times. And it was just sort of vastly different to what we'd been used to, you know, being on the front foot, getting forward, and attacking. And I'd love to know what the thought process was. It's nae a dig at the managers. I just wonder, rather than just saying, well, you know what, we're on a good bit of form here, we're playing well, we're at home, let's just, you know, play our normal game and see what happens.
I think in these sort of games, you can very quickly run up a score, which, you know, can sort of may derail your season, but players will lose a bit of confidence. We've been a really good League 2 run. And I think if we'd lost that game maybe 4, 5, or 6, it might have taken a wee bit of a hammering confidence-wise. So I can see the contained side of the game. Obviously, at times we ended up with a back six, as you pointed out on Saturday, and it, you know, that was far from ideal, because McAllister obviously now doesn't have the legs to cover, you know, 3 or 4 defenders up top and chase the ball. So naturally, the ball kept coming back. I think we tried to contain. It didn't quite work, and then obviously when United got their first goal, we had to try and change the tactics a wee bit, and I thought we looked better for it. I thought we had a good spell towards the end of the first half and the start of the second half. But yeah, it's not a dig at the management team at all. I think so far they've got it bang on the whole season, but maybe one of them situations you'd fancy in a goal. But hindsight's a great thing. If we'd lost that game 4-5-0 having a goal, you could maybe have sat here and says, why do we need to contain them a wee bit better? So I think it's a lose-lose situation in that sense, but, you know, it's 2-0, you're still proud of the boys' efforts.
Although Adam McCarthy wasn't a player, he was there, and if you've watched the game again on iPlayer, or if you watched it on the night, Adam McCarthy was doing a bit of half-time analysis, and you wouldn't be surprised to hear that Adam McCarthy was being just typical Andy McCarthy, just trying to curtail his usual his humour or curtail what he was saying, because he was on TV. Andy McCarthy was just being Andy McCarthy as normal.
He's very straight, is he? Straight to the point. He's not going to miss about. He's not really got much of a filter either, but you wouldn't want that to change. You know, that's part of him, it's part of his game and the way he is. But I get it. I think it shows you the team spirit. Obviously, Andy's got a long way to come up to the game in a game that he knows he's got no part to play in terms of, you know, other being around the dressing room and being supportive for the guys. So, again, it just shows you the close-knit team spirit that we've got just now as well.
So the opening goal, as you mentioned earlier on, came for a free kick for Middleton. And, I think if McKenzie has looked at this one back, and he probably has by now, and we've all seen it again, I think he'll be bitterly disappointed with this one. It's a long way out, 30, 35 yards out. No wall, and it's just I wouldn't even say it's a speculative effort. He obviously knows what he's doing. But I think McKenzie will be massively disappointed with this one.
Yeah, given how good Stewart's been this season, it's maybe one that he'll look back on and be a bit disappointed. Surprised that there was no wall. Normally you'd maybe even get one or two players there just to try and block off that Middleton actually did. I'll throw in the wind factor and the weather that we had on a certain night. Did that play a part in Middleton taking a strike for there as the ball taking an awkward bounce as it's going towards the goal? There's maybe a few factors. Obviously, we're looking at for the side on rather than being behind the actual ball and looking at Stewart's view. I think if he looks back, I think he'll be more disappointed with the range that he's been beaten at rather than the goal itself.
Yeah, and given the conditions, as you said, it's obviously just zipped off the surface as well. But I just wonder if he's anticipating it just being dinked to the far post and that way, and that's maybe sort of he's moved too far to his left and he's just given Milton that option.
Yeah, I mean, I think from all seeing it, we actually thought he'd gained behind the actual goals itself and hit the stanchion at the back. But I think for that, you wouldn't expect Middleton to shoot even with that condition. So I think Stewart's probably like us, thought he's going to dink it in the box. He's maybe taken a step to his left, and then with the pace on the ball, taking a zip off the surface, it's maybe one of them. It's in the back of the net before he can really do anything. Like as I said, I think he's probably going to be more disappointed with the range rather than the actual goal that he conceded.
And not need to be sort of too disparaging to McKenzie. Two really good saves in the second half, one just before the free kick and one after it as well. That's the kind of the difference we've got with McKenzie. Obviously, he's made a mistake. He's at fault for the opening goal, but he'll still come up with these big saves.
Yeah, he's proved it, you know, this season alone. I think he's you know, be easy worthy of 4 or 6 points this season already. Some big saves at crucial times, and I think that's the sort of keeper we've got now. Maybe before we've had keepers that once they've made a mistake in a game, their confidence drops. I think Stewart's actually probably opposite. A mistake. I'm not even saying the first goal was a mistake. It's gone in the back of the net. He'll maybe be disappointed with it, the way it's worked out, but he's come back with a couple of big saves as well, and, you know, credit to him.
He certainly kept Louis Malt in check anyway. And as I said, that's our opening 15-20 minutes. We were so deep, it was unreal. But credit to Jordan and Ryan that they sort of recognised that maybe wasn't working. Perhaps that was always the game plan anyway, after sort of 15-20 minutes, was to change to 4-4-2. And then once we went back to 4-4-2, Danny on the right wing and Kieran Shanks up front, we Rory McAllister, you could tell there was a difference in the mindset. We were getting further forward. We were in the United half, which we hadn't been doing earlier on.
Yeah, the tactics are a lot more familiar for the players. Obviously, the 4-1-4-1, they'd have worked on it maybe for a couple of hours the whole week, you know, with the two training sessions. And obviously, the credit to, as you said, Ryan and Jordan, they've noticed they needed to make a change. They've done it, and there's a lot more familiarity to it. You could see they were trying to push a high lift. They were trying to get closer. You know, the space between the lines wasn't as big as what it was. Rather than playing with a back six, it was more of a back four. And you could see the fullbacks trying to get forward. They're a little bit tentative to go forward. I can understand why. You know, the double get caught in behind with the pace at Dundee United. But I thought, didn't it cause him too much problems? But it was enough for Dundee United to try and be a wee bit more reserved as well.
Yeah, there was the one big opportunity for Danny Strachan just before half time. Really good opportunity for him. And to be fair to him, he does everything right. He gets the shot away, keeps it doing, keeps it on target. And it's just last ditch defending for Dundee United that stops if you're getting in the back of the net.
Yeah, no, it was the closest we came in the first half, but it was a really good effort. I don't think he could have hit it any better. He's just been really unlucky, and as you said, Dundee United with a wee bit of last ditch defending, and they've managed to clear their lines.
It comes for a good play on the edge of the box, you know, one touch stuff. Jack Brown getting forward, getting ahead of Kieran Shanks, who'd laid it off to him, and he's managed to find Danny and just in the inside of the box, and you know he's not scored at Balmoore yet. He's obviously just got that one goal off of him doing it to East Fife a couple of years ago. So you just wonder if it was going through his head just as the ball was at him.
Aye, and being, you know, playing at Dundee as well before, he'd have probably liked that even more. At a first home goal and against Dundee United, it just wasn't it be. But I thought it was our first real sense of, you know, getting at Dundee United, you know, trying to ruffle the feathers a wee bit, also with the system change as well. You know, and if we'd gotten a goal, then it's a completely different game.
Yeah, you can imagine him scoring a goal and then getting it on TV as well, which would have been good for him. But that it'll come. I think it'll come if he keeps getting forward the way he does. Second half, Hamish Ritchie making his normal second half appearance, came off the bench and he had a great effort to equalise again. You know, same as Danny, really does everything right, keeps it doing, keeps it on target, and it's just blocked by a resolute Dundee United defence.
Yeah, famous point of view, keep it low, hit it hard, and you would fancy your chances. As you said, he's done everything right, and as I say, another night it goes in the back of the net. The form that Hamish has been on coming off the bench as well, you would fancy him to put it away, but you know, some last-ditch defending by United and the block it for a corner.
And it was about that kind of time we started to come into the game. I don't think really Dundee United offered too much. In the second half, there was the one for the corner for I think McKenzie's trying to punch it, but he hadn't got much on it, and then the shot was dragged wide. Other than that, I didn't really sort of recall much else that Dundee United had done in the second half. Kieran Shanks gets an effort as well, just wide on 70 minutes, and what a great effort it was for him. We actually thought it was in, but just a whisper past the post. And again, it's back to where the way we're playing. It's, you know, it's one touch. It's knocking it into feet and into the spaces. Jack Brown, again, heavily involved with getting forward, knocking it into to Shanks this time. And it's inches wide, must be.
There was a 15-20 minute spell in that second half that we were... But I say we were on top, we created the better chances, that's for sure. Whether territorial we were dominating, I don't think so. But, as you said, Shanks is just a couple of inches wide, Hamish Ritchie, anywhere other than where it was, it would have probably been in the back of the net. I think there was a header, was it Rory McAllister, the knockdown, and there was just nobody there. It was screaming out for a Jack Brown or a Kieran Shanks just to be in the end of it. But again, Dundee United was able to clear it. So we created a couple of good chances, really good chances, and on another night, one of them goes in, before United get their second, it's certainly game on.
Yeah, and it's just the way things go. From that goal kick, they'll get it up the other end of the park, and Tony Watt scores a wonderful goal. You have to put your hands up and say it's a great finish. But literally, 30 seconds after Shanks just puts it wide, they're up at the other end and they score it, and it just kills any momentum that we had.
Yeah, I think if Shanks is one had gone in, the crowd would have got right behind us, and you know, you'd have felt that slight momentum change within the game. They take the goal kick, a couple of passes, and then Tony Watts, you know, as you said, it's a tremendous effort, a looping one over McKenzie. He's never got to save it. Really good play for him doing the, you know, our left there, right. And it killed the tie. It was 2-0. I don't think we're ever going to come back from 2-0 down. I think at 1-0, you still got a chance. 2-0 was very difficult. And then, obviously, there was the stoppage in play as well. It just sort of killed the whole game for the rest of the night.
And I think, as you said earlier on as well, the to show how well we were performing, actually, second half particularly. The substitutions that Goodwin had made, you know, he brought on Grimshaw, Glass, Sibbald and Fotheringham. And maybe changes he didn't want to make because he was obviously keeping one eye on, you know, the league form. But bringing on those kind of players just to try and get them over the line or try and get that second goal just shows you maybe how well we were performing second half.
Yeah, I think overall that the team selection for Dundee United showed a lot of respect towards Peterhead. I think it would have been quite easy for Goodwin to play a weakened side and they really be too worried about the cup game. I think he fielded a pretty strong Dundee United side and I followed them week in, week out. We looked at the players that they selected and we knew quite a lot of them, so we knew they'd been in and around the first team quite a bit. Well, players like Kieran Freeman as well coming back to Ballymore, putting a really solid performance at right back for them. So a lot of quality throughout their squad, a lot of quality in the bench, which they were able to bring on, showed us a lot of respect, you know, and they managed to get through the tie as well.
Yeah, and as you said as well, the stoppage in play for Douglas Ross going off and being replaced by the fourth official, coupled that with the second goal going in, really did just stop any momentum we had. You know, if there wasn't that stoppage in play, you know, we may have been able to sort of pick ourselves up, but there was that just that long delay, and it really just killed the game. And I don't know why it took so long for the fourth official to get himself ready. You would have thought he would have been dressed and ready to go just in case. But hey, well, that was the way the thing's going. And that's kind of the frustrating kind of thing, is that we didn't really care if it was going on for a good while. Until he came back out again.
Yeah, it was a strange situation. We were waiting to make a substitution as well, and we thought Douglas Ross was just taking a wee meander to the technical areas to check the substitutions coming on, and then he just sort of went down the tunnel. Nobody really knew what was happening. Referee, I don't know whether he communicated to his other official or what, but there was a very long delay for, you know, to get ready again. We're thankful that we did have a fourth official. If it happened in a league game, I think it would have happened in that situation. But it just seemed to take a long time to filter through if it had actually happened. Then we realised that when the official came back, it was actually Douglas Ross. So something else that Douglas Ross hasn't actually completed.
Well, yeah, I just want to say, we still managed to finish off the game as a fourth official. So I don't know what was going on there. I'm sure we'll find out over the course of it. But yeah, the referee, the officials again come under the spotlight after Saturday's game. And there was a few, we had concerns about him anyway, because he refereed the game at Tannadice in the League Cup, as we said, last week. So we'd a bit concerned about him anyway. And it's so obvious that he was refereeing the players differently, the Dundee United players and the Peterhead players differently, the way he spoke to them, the way he his body language at times was so different to the two sets of players.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of folk, once they realised it was the same referee as the referee at Tannadice, I think there was a few question marks raised. I'm surprised that they're allowed to do it. I can, it's different competitions, and obviously you can't say that referees want to referee certain teams, but I am surprised that Dundee United Peterhead twice has been refereed by the same referee, considering we're not even in league competitions with each other. Mm. I find it a wee bit bizarre, but yeah, evidently for the word go, you could tell he's, I think his demeanour and the manner in which he, you know, went about his business on the park was different towards both players. You know, and having spoken to people inside the club, you know, over the course of the season, referees, we know that they've got to, you know, earn their badges in terms of coming through systems, and if you're in the Highland League, you'll go up to League 2, League 1, etc., etc. But, you know, if you treat the players with respect, you'll get the respect back, and I certainly think the referee at times as well lost control of the game, and as you said, just the way he was speaking to both teams, you could evidently tell there was a bit of a difference.
Just picking out some of the incidents during the game. I mean, Danny Strachan's booking, for example, early on in the first half, there was no contact. We didn't think there was any contact initially during the game. Again, having watched it back, you could clearly see that there was no contact. Even the commentators, Kevin Thompson, who was doing the analysis, and said there was no contact, there was nothing in it, and he didn't pick that one up. There was the one that I think it was Doherty in the Dundee United midfield, tries to do some kind of trick in the midfield, and he trips himself up, but he gets a foul. There's nobody running about him, and it's massive. It's not a massive decision, but it's decisions like that, it just infuriate you.
Just want to touch back on the Danny Strachan one. So it's right in front of the official on, as we look at it in the stand, right in front of us. And evidently the attacking player for Dundee United, I think it was Louis Malt, or maybe wrong, he was offside. So when the pass is played through, Danny's allegedly taken him out right in front of the linesman. But the referee is a good 20, 30 yards further away from the play. And he deems it to be a foul. Okay, if you deem it to be a foul, but just a card as well. Surely the linesman and the referee must be in communication of, oh, I think it's a foul. And I kind of got to re-referee the game with each other, but you just think a little bit of common sense as well within the game. But yeah, I thought overall his performance as a referee, again, probably another one that could be doing well, a wee bit of work.
And there was a 50-50, I think, in the second half with Danny Stark and one of the Dundee United players as well. And
and
you'd said as well, if he makes contact there, he's probably off because he's already on a yellow. And that's the kind of things that plays on a player's mind, because he knows he's on a yellow card he probably didn't deserve, but he's going for a 50-50. He has to pollute it a little bit, because he knows just the slightest of contacts he could be off, and that changes changes his game.
Yeah, that's literally the way to say that. And that's where Danny has to change his game. Not for the right reason. He's been booked wrongly, in my opinion. And he would then have to pull out a challenge that's a 50-50. Both players could have won it. And yet he would feel the need to slightly pull out because he can't any slight contact. The referee's going to send him off. So this is when a daft yellow can then lead to something a wee bit more serious.
Jack Brown and a Dundee United player sort of caught feet, tripped each other up in the middle of the park. The ball was 30 yards away. Nobody sort of claimed anything. The referee might give the foul for that instead of just allowing the game to carry on. You remember Kieran Shanks' header when she went on top of the net? We thought it was a good header over the net. It was given as a foul on the keeper. And again, if you watch it on the iPlayer, they had the camera from the Cattle Drive side and looking towards the Balmoor Terrace side. He actually just misses the ball completely. But because he's gone down sort of hugging his head and things like that, the referee's going, okay, it wasn't a goal. But had that been a goal, then that's even more controversial.
Yeah, I think goalkeepers these days as a whole are a protected species. Any slight contact to the goalkeeper, Scotland fans will ken that, you know, just as well with the Spain game midweek as well. So, yeah, I think the referee in for Dundee United, Peter Heid, was poor, but it's worrying times because that seems to be the normal at the moment. And we had raised concerns, you know, over the close season about obviously a lot of officials now are used for VAR and assistant VAR and everything in the top flight. And it's maybe now that we are starting to see the real problems in the lower leagues as well.
So unless we get Dundee United in the Scottish Cup, I don't think we're going to see Callum Scott again this season, which will be a good thing.
Well, it's certainly going to be a bad thing, that's for sure. I think if we see him this season, it'll be too soon.
Mind you, if we do get Dundee United in the Scottish Cup and we do get Callum Scott, I think questions will have to be raised about that one.
You would like to think so. I think, you know, once okay, but twice to hear a referee with poor decision making. I think if there was a third time, you'd certainly be wanting to make a phone call to the SFA.
Right, let's get some of your thoughts on the Saturday's game. We'll start with Keith Leslie. Hard enough for the lads to compete with a full-time team without having to compete against the ref too. Gave a very good account of themselves and could hold their heads up. Hopefully this doesn't affect our league form and we kick one again. Lindsay Finlay, Peter Hayes should be proud of their performance. We had a couple of chances but couldn't execute. But overall, we had a very good game. Robert Patterson, credit to the management team. They've done a marvellous job in putting a team together that's entertaining to watch. Wayne Simpson should be really proud of the performance. Got sucker points in the second half with a goal which killed the game just straight after we had a good chance to equalise while we were on top. Can't fault the players. Their efforts were really good. Full focus now on the league. Andrew Mellon, can't fault the lads. They're up against a championship team who do this full time. In hindsight, The first goal was a bit of a shambles decision for the free kick. Second goal, well, it was well taken. Score aside, some very good positives from Peterhead, and this is why we're sitting top of League Two. George Buchan, decent performance from the Blue Two, nothing to be ashamed of against a Championship team. Good save from Stuart McKenzie, some decent plays by the Toon. Graham McLean, better second half performance, ref still inconsistent, but a little bit better than Tannadice showing. Don't think Dross was impressed with his substitution announcement. Mike Gibbon gave them far too much respect in the first half, and we kept giving the ball away. Much better second half, well done on a dreadful night against a full-time team. And finally, James Reid. I don't think the performance was too bad, considering that we're two leagues above us. We showed them a bit too much respect early on. On another day, we might have sneaked something out of the game. I think pretty much what we've said is echoed there in most of the comments. Really proud of the performances in the last two. They are just maybe saying as well, maybe did show them too much respect, particularly in that first half.
Yeah, that's what I liked about the support just now as well. We've all recognised there that we're up against the best side arguably in the competition that was left. So it was a tough draw, but you know they can still be proud of the team. They put on a really good show, and it just wasn't it to be.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. I think there's a positivity going around about the two, and there's a positivity going around the team as well. So, you know, we can take positives out of these games. Compared to what we might have been last season, it is vastly different to how things are going. And that obviously that comes from what the management team has done and what the players are doing as well.
Yeah, we've said it a few times. They've installed a bit of belief and a bit of confidence in the squad. And yeah, okay, it's a defeat, and we've gone out of the competition. But there's a lot of positives to take for Saturday's game as well. I'm sure Jordan and Ryan will be trying to install that in them going into the game on Saturday.
Right now, so normally Pie Watch is reserved to just our away games, our trips away from home. But this is a special edition of the Pie Watch. We were gifted a couple of pies all the way down from Shetland, from Sound Butchers up in Shetland, given to us by Keith Leslie. So thanks very much to Keith for bringing them down and to the Butchers for providing them. Martin, what did you think of your Butcher pie?
I really enjoyed it. I really did. Actually, that Saturday night when I got in, that was my supper. I had a change of plan for my supper. Really nice pie, really fresh. I couldn't have thought it. Arguably one of the best pies we've had this season as well. So, the wife of Shetland, nonetheless.
Yeah, I echo that. It was a really decent pie, really good. You can tell the difference in the quality, compared to what we got the previous week at Forfar. Really good. It was cheese and mince and cheese. I thought to myself, maybe it's got to be too cheesy, but it just seemed to be just enough cheese. You know, when you sort of cut into it, because the heating mine's up, and you sort of cut it in, and the cheese just sort of melted through.
With the heat mince and the cheese bubbling. Yeah. Oh, it was really, really nice. I couldn't have thought of it at all.
Yeah. The next time at Keith's back doing again, I will expect another pie.
He started something new.
He started it. So thanks very much to Keith for that, and all the Sound Butchers as well. Next time I'm up in Shetland, we'll certainly be popping in by there.
Next time you're up in Shetland.
Well, I've never been to Shetland, so I'll make a point again in next time now, because I kind of there's a decent Butchers up there now. You see.
It's actually a reason for going. Like, you go to Portslade for ice cream and all that, you'll actually go to Shetland for a Sound Butcher's pie.
I'll not be there for a pie, that's it. Right, so let's crack on to Saturday's game. Stenhouse Muir away from home. It's kind of been it looked like this was going to be a top of the table clash, although Steny didn't play last week because their game was off, and they didn't play again on last weekend, Saturday past as well. So it's been 3 weeks since their last game. So I wonder if that'll come into it, but they're sitting third on the table, a game behind everybody else. Last time out it was 0-0. It's really it was a disappointing 0-0, I think, if I remember correctly. But this should be another test of where we've come this season.
Yeah, the 0-0 at Ballymore, from our point of view, it was frustrating. I deny we covered our shell in glory, considering what we'd done the week before, doing East Fife on the opening day. We came away from there a wee bit, yeah, disappointed. But I still think it's going to be a test. I think we've said that about most of the away games, you know, going to Dumbarton, and then obviously we've gone to Forfar and gotten wins. And these are the games that you look back on and think, this is why we're in a good position. I still think Senna is going to be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. But you always look for small gains, and I think the fact that this will be our first game in 3 weeks, if you can go off to a really good start like we have done in previous games and just try and, you know, get your noses in front, I think we could be on to for a decent game. But, you know, you've got to be wary as well. You could look at it on the flip side and say, well, they haven't played for 2 weeks, they're going to be fully fit and raring to go. So, yeah, as you said, it'll be a test of where we're at as well.
And the thing is as well, their last game they did play was a 2-2 draw against Clyde. They were 2-0 up, they blew the lead late on. So that one's probably been playing on their mind for the last 3 weeks as well. They've been looking for a game to try and put that one to bed.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think when you've been 2-0 up and you end up winning the game, you're looking for your following week game to come round pretty quick. And also the fact that they haven't played for 2 weeks, they've been left stewing on it. Again, depends on your outlook. You could say, well, they've been a wounded animal for 2 weeks now in training and they'll be raring to go. Or you could say, well, if you can get an early goal in the game with them being the home side, you expect the onus to be in them to come out and attack you. I think if we've got the same sort of team that we've had in recent weeks in the league campaign, then I see no reason why we can't go down there, put in a really good display and then come up the road with 3 points.
And it's the two form teams as well. We've also got 4 wins on the bounce. They've got 3 wins and a draw in their last four. As I said, the last draw came against Clyde, the 2-2. So, you know, two teams that are on form at the minute, and two teams that have conceded the least amount in the league as well.
Yeah, I think both defences will be difficult to break down. I generally wouldn't expect it to be a high scoring game. I think one goal might be, you know, it might be the decisive factor in the game. But like I said, if you go down with the team that we've gone in the last couple of weeks and you start the game well, it's a really good platform to build on. I don't think there's any team that we should be going to in this division and being, you know, being defensive minded. I think we can go to any team and beat them. And it's just going down there with the confidence. Take the positives of the Dundee United game as well. Obviously, we lost 2-0, but we're on them pretty close. Use that to your advantage. Hopefully, there's not any fresh injuries from the game either. And start well and come up the road with a win.
Yeah, and you're looking at the team that finished, or certainly the way they were finished in terms of the 4-4-2. You would like to think we were going to switch back to that again, and it's a case of Vanden McCarthy's out again, which we'll probably think he will be. Do you keep the same starting lineup again, but just have it as you know, Danny Sarkin playing as on the wide right? And keep Armstrong playing as a left back. You may want to keep Danny playing as a left back, and then possibly bring on Robert Ward, who's hasn't really had much starts recently, but it might be one of those games where he's maybe throw him in, play him on the right, or Keith on the right, and see what happens.
Yeah, well, we've said for a while now that Robert's a really good impact player. If he's allowed that freedom on the wing, where he's certainly got pace to burn, this is maybe one of them times where you maybe need a slight rotation on your side. If Andy's to miss out, we think he probably will miss out in Saturday's game with the injury to the shoulder. And there's an argument saying Robert Ward could come in, put Danny back at left, but I didn't think Jordan Armstrong really did much wrong on Saturday either, to be honest. So he sort of put himself in contention for a starting place. He's now building up the fitness as well. So, yeah, it's a situation that obviously we've got a couple of injuries, but we do feel now that we've got a squad that can adapt with these injuries and suspensions, and there's players sitting on the bench ready to take their place.
And that's a good point about Jordan Armstrong, because the two or three times he has come in, as a starter, he hasn't really done much wrong, and hasn't really put much, hasn't put a foot wrong, and that obviously must play on the mind of the managers when they're making their selections, because obviously they brought him in specifically on Saturday for a reason, and he's shown that he's more than capable of playing at that level.
Yeah, I think Jordan's one of them players that will get better as the season goes on and he gets more confidence. I think when he came in, obviously it's a new side, his fitness maybe wasn't quite as up to scratch as what they were maybe hoping for, so it's to try and feed him in. And then this is spoke about a couple of weeks in the wee feature that, you know, Danny Strachan's really done nothing wrong at left back and it's difficult to drop him when he is playing as well. I don't think it was a case of Jordan not playing well. I think Danny was just playing too well at that moment in time. But as you said, Jordan and Ryan brought him in for a reason at left back on Saturday. That's maybe with a view to Andy again, they playing on Saturday. They're maybe just trying to look a game or two ahead and look at their squad and assess things. So, yeah, I wouldn't have any qualms whether Robert came in at wide right or whether they left Danny there and remained with Jordan at left back. But there's now we've now got the squad that's able to cope with these things, whereas last season we maybe didn't have that quality of players.
There's one change I definitely want to see for Saturday, and that's Kieran Shanks naying his gloves on. I reckon why he was wearing gloves first half. He took him off for the second half and seemed to be do a lot better. I just didn't again why the gloves came out at all and why he should be wearing gloves.
I mean, Kieran was here in January, February of this year, so I'm surprised he's not aware of how Carla actually gets up in the northeast. But as you said, second half and the gloves were off, he certainly came alive a wee bit.
It's not often we see players wearing gloves. I think the last thing we saw wearing gloves on a regular basis was Grant Savory. He obviously did well with the gloves on, but you much prefer Nate to be wearing gloves.
You've never been a fan of player wearing gloves, especially if they've got short sleeves as well.
Well, that's the thing, he was wearing a long sleeve, so he kind of get away with it a little bit, but I just wonder if he decided himself he was going to take the gloves off, or if somebody would tell him to take the gloves off.
Oh, being telled. That's a strong statement, but hey, if the glove did come off, he certainly put in a performance in the second half, so mayor of that doing it steady would be much appreciated.
Yeah, and obviously we're looking at we're attacking threats. Roy McAllister's just still one away for the 200. Good for him to get the 200. Obviously, you'd like it, prefer it to be at Balmour, but for him, I guess it's a case of just getting it done and out the way, and then he can concentrate on playing again.
Yeah, I think there's a few folk in the media now that have picked up on his one goal away from it, and the longer these things go, that he sometimes becomes more difficult. But, you know, having spoken to Rory a few times this season, as we came, he's more than happy just to help chip it in with goals and assists, and hopefully if he gets that 200 soon, he'll be delighted.
Yeah, and as I said, I think it probably will be a tight game. Both teams didn't concede much, so, you know, it might be one of those that one goal might be enough.
Yeah, I think so, but I think when you've got clever players likes of Conor O'Keefe on one side, you've got Rory McAllister and Kieran Shanks up top. We've got, you know, you've got pace, you've got the creativity, you've got the experience, and I think they'll all work together and, you know, try and get the 3 points.
Okay, delighted to say now to talk about the Saturday game against Stenhouse Muir. Joining me is Angus Blacklock. Angus, welcome to the Blue Team Podcast. How are you?
I'm not bad, yeah. Not too bad. How about yourself?
Aye, not too bad. We were just saying when we were recording, it's fairly feeling the winter kind of feel coming into it, new with the chilly weather coming in. But no, good to have you on. I know you're a wee late replacement for Connors coming on, so I appreciate you coming on at the late stage. But Stenhouse Muir doing particularly well so far this season. I know it's early stages, but up there in third at the moment. Manager of the month as well for your gaffer, so things going particularly well.
Yeah, it's been a really good start to the season for the Warriors. I think up there at the right end of the table is something that we wanted to do. And I think the big standout, should I say, is our defensive record. It's been amazing all season long. Obviously, manager of the month, Gary Naismith, picking that up for September. And player of the month as well, Gregor Buchanan, captain who came in summer. He's been a great signing. And part of the reason why our defence has been so successful this season.
And it's two defences, Peterhead and yourselves, that I think have conceded the least in the league. And I guess that probably sums up why the previous game between the two sides ended 0-0.
Yeah, I think so. I think both teams weren't too weren't great attacking that day either, but no, just two good defences definitely. And yeah, I think we've only conceded in two halves of football this season, which that's a positive spin if you're looking at. Or we've only conceded in two games out of the eight that we played in the league, so been really good.
It must have been a bit of a concern at the start of the league season when I think you started off with 2-0. You must have been thinking, right, well, where's the goals coming from?
Yeah, there was. I wouldn't say it was concerning by any points, because you could see the sort of attack play in that it just wasn't coming off for whatever reason. But no, we've kicked on since then and got a few good ones.
And you mentioned Gregor Buchanan. He's strangely your top goal scorer as a defender. But he's obviously, he knows this level well. He's doing particularly well. How impressed have you been with him so far?
Oh, he's been a terrific signing, terrific captain as well. But two braces as well, which you don't often see from a defender. He's a big target from the corners, and that's what you need at this sort of level. But he made his 400th game against East Fife, I think, early in the season. And to have that amount of experience in that back line is just invaluable for the rest of the team.
Any chance he was going to get a penalty or a chance of his heart second in any of those games?
We were thinking about it when he was playing, but unfortunately for him, he didn't manage to.
He'd been ripping the bar for somebody out anyway, if he got the opportunity.
Definitely.
You're coming in this game. I know it's been, by the time you play again, it'll almost be 3 weeks since you've played last. Do you think that'll come into it? Have the guys been preparing? Have they had bounce games in that time?
I think they've had the bounce game, but it's not great preparation with having what will be 3 weeks when yourself you played last week and the week before, so that might play a factor in that. But like, it's circumstances out with our control, I think it could play a factor, especially with being a part-time team where you only get that 2 days a week in training anyway. But it'll be interesting to see if that plays a factor on the weekend.
Obviously, the game was called off a couple of weeks ago because of the weather. You didn't have a game this past weekend because of the cup. But was there any doubt that the game that was called off was ever going to be on?
Well, when you looked at the weather forecast the sort of night before, you're sort of dreading making a trip and seeing that weather. But thankfully, it was an early call off, so I was just getting ready to leave to head up when it got called off. So luckily for the supporters and for some of the players, it was quite an early call off. But I think we would have liked to get the game the following Saturday with neither team having a game, but it happens, and we've now got to travel there. I think it's next Tuesday, so we'll go on to play more games in 3 weeks to a couple in 3 days.
Yeah, you've got us in the set early, then you travel up to Elgin on the Tuesday. Obviously, that's going to be a big issue. I think there was the issue on social media that Stenhousemuir were quite adamant that they wanted the game to play on the Saturday, but Elgin obviously didn't want that. That's a blow for a lot of the potential travelling supporters as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get many going up on a Tuesday night to Elgin. I know I can't make it, unfortunately. I think some of our media volunteers are having to take half days off work or whatever just to make the game. It's not ideal when both teams had the free weekend, but, you know, it happens. And we live in Scotland and you get call-offs on.
I guess from Elgin's point of view, they're thinking, well, if any kind of advantage they can get by getting you guys to come up on a Tuesday night, would be far better than coming up on a Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely, you can see their point of view, but at the same time, I would have thought they might have wanted to just roll over the hospitality with it just being like a week later and try and get that bigger gator seat, but it happens, and we've got them on Tuesday now, and we can't change it now.
Well, I was going to say that it might come a time where the roles are reversed, and you know they're heading down and it's called off for whatever reason, then you guys might be in the situation where you say, well, we'll play on a Tuesday night instead.
We'll wait and see. But Yeah, it happens.
You're coming into this game on a good bit of form, unbeaten in four, three wins and a draw. I guess the draw might, though, maybe just kind of sticks in your craw a little bit, you know, 2-0 up against Clyde. Probably a game you should have killed off long before they got back into it. So is there potentially an eagerness from the supporters and the team to try and sort of bury that performance and that result now, because it's been so long, there's never been a game to try and kill that one off?
I think so, yeah. I think it was this point because we had so many chances in that Clyde game in the first half, and then, you know, what, a two-goal lead, it's always what a dangerous one, they say. But, it was something we hadn't seen. We didn't sort of play that as well as we can in that second half, and Clyde scored two goals and then get back into it. But apart from that, we've been really solid this season, apart from that one half against Dumbarton and the half against Clyde. But defensively and attacking, we've really come onto the game. It's a shame Ross Taylor's out injured these days, but he was really sharp before he got injured, and Adam Brown's been good. Matty Aitken holding the ball up well up top. Got a real, real good squad.
Do you think this game on Saturday is going to be another tight affair?
I definitely think so. I think you look at two sides are up at the top end of the league, albeit there's 4 points between us, but we do have that game against Elgin and Hann, but two good sides challenging at the right end of the table, and I think it'll be a really good game.
It's a game, obviously, neither side will want to lose, but if we go down there and we beat Stenny, obviously that'll open up the gap a little bit. You've got the game in hand, but you're almost sort of playing catch-up. So it's almost like a game of chess, really, to see how, you know, each team goes. Because, as I said, neither team will really want to lose this one.
Yeah, definitely. I think that psychological factor, if yourselves go 7 points clear, that might have an effect. But it'll definitely be a game neither team will be looking to lose, but it's one I think that the squad will be confident for.
And as I said, both teams are on good runs. We're four wins on the trot. You're unbeaten in four. Both teams will want to try and protect that runs as long as they can and try and get that momentum going again.
Yeah, definitely. And League Two is such a league where if you get a couple of wins in a spin, you shoot right up, or you go clear, because it's one of those tight leagues, and it's on. I think there's sort of a gap between sort of the bottom and the middle to top, and there's just so many teams going to be fighting for those playoff and automatic spots.
Yeah, you make a good point there. There is a bit of a gap already. I think maybe the bottom 3-4 are starting to get cut adrift already, and then there's obviously the top six, if you like. So it is going to be a fairly tight season. Have you seen anybody other than obviously Elgin, who you haven't played yet, have you seen anybody who you think are going to be up there challenging, or do you think it's a case that everybody's pretty much similar?
I think most of the games we've had this season have been pretty even. I think the couple that have been particularly good, I think Dumbarton, they had a really good half and were very clinical when they came to Oakleview. I think yourselves as well, you're up at the top end. I think maybe we might see ourselves, Peterhead and Dumbarton may drift away, but Spartans have surprised me the way how well they've done coming up. Sharara there or thereabouts. So I could see both things happening, to be perfectly honest. It could be a tight at the top all season, or I could maybe see those three maybe drifting away.
Yeah, Sharara's a bit of a strange one, because they beat us doing there, and then I think they've lost like four in a row since then, so they've been stuck on 11 points for about a month.
Yeah, we beat them 5-0, which I don't think many people saw coming. But that was a good game, played really well in that one.
It just shows you if you have one off day, it can certainly sort of spiral out of hand.
Yeah, it's just that momentum, isn't it? You have that one bad game that sticks in your head, and you lose another one after that, and then the next thing you know, you're however many points away from where you want to be. So it's one of those things where you can move very quickly.
So finally then, we'll get your score prediction. How do you see the game going then on Saturday?
I think with us being at home, I think I can see us getting the victory. I'm going to go for a... Are we going to keep another clean sheet? I'll go for a 2-1 Stenishmere victory.
2-1 Stenishmere victory. I think that would be a decent shout if it said 2-1 either way. I'm not sure if it's going to be 3 goals. I think 1 might just be enough, given how good the both defences are, but you never know. An early goal for either side might just spark the game into life.
Are you making a trip then?
We will be, yes. We'll be there, so we'll make see you doing there.
Yeah, definitely.
Angus, thanks very much for coming on. Appreciate the late call up. Thanks for coming on.
We'll
chat again with you if you're a late substitute again at some point over the course of the season. But thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much. Good to be on.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Angus Blacklock for joining it to preview Saturday's game at Stenhousemuir, and of course to Martin Smith for joining him as always. Big thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.